You know, invite us to sit, Ron will bring our reading. But as we hear this reading, bear in mind these words which I think God has for us this morning, which is simply, stop struggling. Stop struggling because God's riches are there for you to relax into. Right.
This morning's reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 16. Godliness, of course, does bring great profit, but only to those who are content with what they have. We brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But as long as we have food and clothing, let us be content with that. People who long to be rich are a prey to temptation. They get trapped into all sorts of foolish and dangerous ambitions, which eventually plunge them into ruin and destruction. The love of money is the root of all evils. And there are some who, pursuing it, have wandered away from the faith, and so given their souls any number of fatal wounds. But as a man dedicated to God, you must avoid all that. You must aim to be saintly and religious, filled with faith and love, patience and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith and win for yourself the eternal life to which you were called when you made your profession and spoke up for the truth in front of many witnesses. Now, before God, the source of all life, and before Jesus Christ, who spoke up as a witness for the truth in front of Pontius Pilate, I put to you the duty of doing all that you have been told, with no faults or failures, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who at the due time will be revealed by God, the blessed and only ruler of all, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, whose home is in inaccessible light, whom no man has seen, and no man is able to see. To him be honor and everlasting power. Amen.
Amen. That reading continues in the series of looking at 1 Timothy, and now we're in chapter 6, for those who've been following. Well, the first thing I'd like to share with you is just a brief joy from yesterday. I was at an event last night with 400 young people as part of HOPE, some of you might remember, and looking ahead to HOPE 2018. And at that event, 70 young people committed their lives to Jesus for the first time. Isn't that exciting? And yet in the midst of that, we had a phone call at 10 to 5 this morning when my father-in-law, who had an operation on Thursday, has been rushed with horrendous pain back into hospital. He's fine, thankfully. But what a crash down this morning. And then I looked at my phone and BBC News tells us about the earthquake in central Italy. And it brings me to this point this morning as we think about otherworldly living, but actually looking at our world, just what a messy place we live in. Isn't there? There's the highs, there's the lows, and everything in the middle. But actually, what a messy world we live in. And yet, how do we look this morning as to otherworldly living? That's what we're going to be looking at. Well, we've had a lovely week away. We've come crash back down to earth, as we do after holidays. I'm sure Carl and Karen know as well, and others of you who've maybe had a break over the half-term week. But I wonder what the world has thrown at you this week. What are the messages that you feel you've been attacked by, or you've heard, or you've seen, as we look at the cultural landscape around us? I wonder what it might be. My guess is for some of you is that the things that you may have heard said, You know that day you didn't work in the evening? Well, maybe you should have done, because actually you could have worked a little bit harder this week. Or actually, on that parenting little quibble, picking your battles, well, actually, you picked the wrong one. You should have actually corrected your child in the midst of that. Or if you remember that phone call you were going to make and you felt a little bit too tired, so you didn't actually make it and call that person back, well, actually, you should have done, because actually, that person is all the less from not having heard from you. Or maybe it's something else, because the world throws all these things out. You could have done more. You should have done better. You could have earned a little bit more. You should have been kinder. You should have been more corrective. Whatever it is, there's so much stuff, isn't there, that comes at us all the time, which can make us feel absolutely tiny and rubbish about ourselves if we're not careful. Well, what we see in the midst of this, and what some of the verses that we've just read out, which I'll pick up on in a little while, is what the world is absolutely expert at, is that it sows discontentment. If we can have this slide up. Ollie, as you'll see, there's some of the things behind me, you know, you need to find love, you really need to lose a bit of weight, so you should join that gym. You need to get fit, you should be helping others more. There's a sense of pressure after pressure after pressure. Whatever stage of life we're at, whether we're raising children, whether we're in our retirement years, whether it's teenagers, there's pressure and messages and worldly values that come at us all the time. Are there not? Would you agree? Is it just me? But they come at us all the time that just says, be discontent. You could be doing this. You should be doing that. You could be doing more. But 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, as we saw right at the beginning, actually speaks into our culture today. And it talks particularly about money, doesn't it? It picks up on that well-known phrase of the love of money is the root of all evil. And what it says within that, as it picks on that aspect particularly, is that for many of us, it may be that money is the thing that draws discontentment. That as we look around, it may be our family members that are earning more than us, or our parents' expectations were greater that we should have been earning more, or we're in our later years of life and actually we should have a bigger pot of money to be living off. Whatever it is, these verses talk about that craving, that law of money. And as Ron read it out, it says at the end of that, that actually even for Christians, many men of faith have wandered away from faith in the version that I read. So they've wandered gently, maybe slowly, but have been lured away from faith because of the law of money. And yet actually today we're not focusing on money, but we're thinking about that is just one aspect that can breed discontentment. But actually we're considering that in a much broader sense today. And I'm guessing for many of us, it may not just be money, or it may not be money at all, but it may be that actually there's an anxiety over where we're at in our life, where we thought we'd be by this point. Or maybe it's over our self-image and our self-identity, and maybe we get anxiety over that, or about our mental state, and we feel like we should be in a different place, or we struggle with things that we think we shouldn't be struggling with. But the world constantly tells us that we should be different to how we actually are. And as we know, that's not what the Bible says. But these are reiterated time and time again. And it's not surprising when we see adverts like these couple of adverts that Ollie's going to press play for us.
I believe that taking care of oneself adds quality to life, and that looking the best you can is a show of respect to those around you. Tom Ford for Men is based on my own personal grooming regimen. It's born from my deep conviction that fine grooming doesn't have to be complicated to be effective. It should be simple, straightforward, and intuitive. The collection includes multifunctional skincare products to calm, comfort, and mattify the skin, and grooming products to balance imperfections and achieve a polished look. Quite simple. Take care of your skin, look closely at your face, use a few basic corrective techniques, and you will present your most handsome and impeccable self to the world.
I have to say, without chuckling, that second advert just makes me laugh. And he did the first time I said it because I just think how utterly ridiculous. How utterly ridiculous. That guy is just beyond what we would in our worldly vision say is perfect. It's just so unobtainable, isn't it? So unattractive maybe to many. And the first thing Darren said when he saw it was, well, you're not getting me wearing lipstick. I did try and tell him it was probably lip balm, but he wasn't having any of it. The first advert that we saw about the magazines I find more disturbing. Not shocking, because it's not shocking to any of us, is it? But actually, how important is it that we recognise and that we see adverts like this? It shows how ridiculous the messages of our culture actually are. That advert after advert after advert is luring us in to be saying, you should be like this, you could be like that, you should be looking like this. And how awakening to see that actually it says that the H&M models and Sally Gifford up there isn't even a real person. So the images that were, and I must admit, having been on a beach this week in Malta, you look around, you think people's bodies don't look like that, and actually we are sold a lie, because frankly none of the bodies really looked like that at all, and certainly not like Tom Ford, otherwise there might have been many eyes wandering down the beach. But in all of this, it's up to us, isn't it, to be aware of this cultural lie that we are told, that actually we're not perfect, we don't need to be perfect, and that actually these people don't exist. Well, what's really important is that against the backdrop of recognising these things as untruths, is that we look at God's word for truth. And on the next slide, Ollie, if you could flick that up there, there's a really important verse which comes up in 1 Timothy verse 6, which talks about contentment. And that may be something that our world and our culture is just not familiar with, is it? Because we're always striving, whether we choose to do it ourselves or whether we feel under pressure of others. But this verse, if you can find that, Ollie, is it on there? This is the one, yep. So it says that we actually came into the world with nothing and we leave with nothing. And the verse in its fullest form says, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great worth. After all, we bought nothing when we came into the world and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But actually, what a countercultural phrase that actually is. What a countercultural verse. I wonder if you think about the friends that you live amongst, from friends now or think back to earlier lives or at university or in places of work or whatever. How many, and I think about my friends, who are striving constantly to do more, to have more. And that's the world in us, isn't it? And let's not pretend we don't feel that at times. But actually, this goes counterculturally, doesn't it, to say, actually, contentment in itself is finding great gain. To be at a place of feeling happy in who we are and what we have, the homes that we have, the finances that we have, the families that we have, all of these things, that actually within that, the countercultural truth, it seems to me, is that actually living a life of contentment is not only permissible, but it is also possible. It's not just permissible, but it is also possible. But within that, there's often a battle within each of us. As I've been thinking about this talk this morning for a number of weeks, it struck me a really sharp picture, which has stayed in my mind, actually, which was that of a mangle. Do you remember the mangles? I don't remember the mangles. I'm far too young. But I know what a mangle is. And the picture that came to my mind was that a mangle is something that, in this context, anyway, it felt to me that we can all feel at times like we're being pushed through a mangle. Whether that is within our work and the pressures or the family, all the things that we've already stated, that actually the world around us is all too ready and willing to squeeze us, whatever age we are, whatever context we live in, through a type of mangle that will, of course, just like a mangle that sucks clothes through and squeezes all the water out to dry it, it can actually suck the life out of us. And I'm sure I'm not alone in sometimes thinking, actually, we can all feel a bit on the edge at times, feeling like we're being squeezed, whether it's through the demands of work, the pressures of whatever it may be. And I must admit, for myself, this year, I've become really conscious of this. Thankfully, not too much personally, but through many friends, through old colleagues, who've actually hit a complete wall or been off with anxiety and depression from work and so on, and just feeling, actually, this culture that we live in has an awful lot to answer for, because this mangle is something that will just squeeze us to the point where actually we can drop out altogether if we're not really careful, if we don't spot the alerts in the middle of that. But I was thinking just this morning, I love the word but, because in the word but we see that Jesus actually, through the message of God and God's truth, it turns things completely around, doesn't it? And the but in this context for me is that actually against the backdrop of the mangle and the pressures and the lies and the adverts and all these imaginary perfect people, we know that in Jesus there can be contentment and there can be the permission to just be ourselves. And in that there can be a place of rest, a place of contentment, of finding true happiness. And even though we might wrestle and wrangle with that at times, it is possible to come to that place. And three things that strike me briefly within that, to quote Carl is often talking about the discipline of off. We've heard it many times, haven't we? But actually, how helpful is that? Because against this pressure to go, 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 to be, 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 to look like this, to do that, to parent better, to work more, actually the discipline of off is really important to find that place of rest and contentment. It also comes true for us that we need to be people who will refuse to get on that hedonistic treadmill that just keeps us going all the time. And in so much, in doing both of those things, to switch off sometimes, to avoid the treadmill, actually we therefore avoid the mangle, that aspect of having the life squeezed out of us at times. Verse 11 of 1 Timothy 6, as we've just read as well, says this. It says, "But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things." Well, we know that as we look at the world around us, they're not all evil things. There's loads of good in our world, isn't there, despite the ups and downs and the tragedies that we do see at times. But there are temptations, there are dangers, there are things that will ensnare us and keep us captive and hold us prisoner, like some of our anxieties or our pressures that we might be putting upon ourselves. But what I like about this verse is it says, run from these things. We get this sense of it's an active action, isn't it? It's an active verb, to run away. But actually, where the world might teach us to run, to go, to keep doing, actually what this verse tells us is that in running away from these evil things, in being actively to draw ourselves away from them, actually that takes us to a place of rest. And again, in that place is the place of contentment. And just on that, I would reiterate, as Carl and Tom in the notices earlier said, actually we've got the prayer week coming up in just a week's time. It's November on Tuesday already. And then I'd invite you to come and join me on the Sunday evening again for the sanctuary session at 8 o'clock, just as a space to be, again, to take that rest. And again, the title of the week, Come Away With Me, is Jesus giving that invite. And against the backdrop of the worldly living, actually to be countercultural, to look for contentment, to seek God, and come to a place of resting and being. So the question remains then for us, if we are therefore to not abandon ourselves to worldly living, but look to otherworldly living, as we've entitled our time together this morning, then actually, how does that even become a reality? As I spoke to Darren about this, he said, well, that's all great, but how do we actually do that? You know, he, like many people, leaves the house very early, gets back very late. It's the same for many men and women, isn't it? When we travel and we do lots of things that call upon our time. And even if we're not working, or on the days when I'm not working, time is stretched. So how do we, therefore, if we're earnestly wanting to seek God and run from some of these worldly things, how do we actually find a place to rest and find that contentment? Well, Psalm 46 says, doesn't it, "Be still and know that I am God." Again, therein lies the challenge. How do we find that place to be still? Oh, I love this verse in on the next slide, Ollie, if you could flick ahead. But in second part of verse 11, it says, "Pursue righteousness and a godly life," in my version. And this one says, "Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." Well, the fact is that whilst God is there ready and waiting for us, we do need to be active in our pursuit of him. And that may mean that actually, even though our lives are stretched, our time is stretched, it's full for so many of us. Maybe not for all of us, but for so many of us, it is. But in that, there is a sense of actually saying, come on, let's really pursue God to actually see how we can gain his pace in life. It is a pursuit. There is a choice. It is an action to seek to do what is right. And I know for me, something I know I've been praying about, particularly this year, and I've expressed to a few others, is I don't want to wait a lifetime running against, you know, on that treadmill of run, run, run to find God's pace in my life. I really want to seek God and find that rhythm, that pace that is healthy for me, personally, for my family, and find that pace that is good and right under God. Because there is so much good stuff, isn't there, in the church, in our work, in our families, that we could be doing. And I'm alerted to that very often. There's lots of good stuff we could all be doing. But surely the challenge for us is to pursue God, seek after him, seek righteousness, ask him, what is it we should be doing, and to do those things. And actually leave the other things, believing that God will mobilise other people to be doing those things, because he doesn't always need us, and we're well aware of that. I have been challenged by this personally myself in recent weeks. I had a really shocking week at work about 3 weeks ago, and I felt like saying, "What do you want, blood?" I'm sure some of you feel like that at times as well. But in the midst of that, I'll share with you an analogy that somebody shared with me that I found really helpful, and I believe is in line with some of what we're talking about today as well. And a friend of mine said, "Rachel, I can see that you don't want to give up all this stuff, all these many commitments and things that you do," and da da da. She said, "But the vision that I have for you," this was sitting at our dinner table, and she said, "I feel what you need to do sometimes is just pick up the remote control to your life and not have to lay everything down or say that you won't do things, but just pick up the remote control and just press pause. Just pick up that remote control and just press pause." And I don't know if that speaks to you, but that's been really helpful to me because I'm a real activist and I run, and I love my life like that. But actually, I think for so many of us, it's actually really helpful sometimes to know that actually the countercultural thing to do sometimes is to just say, "Do you know what? I have to just press pause. The to-do list can wait. The emails even can wait. The family members that I need to call back may just have to wait. Because in this moment, I actually need to either rest, or I need to be with my family, or I need to be on my own, or I need to sleep, or whatever that looks like." And actually just to press pause is a godly thing to do, I think, at times. And we need to seek God's wisdom and discernment in that, don't we? But at times, that's a real godly thing to do. So I'd encourage you to think about that as well. But in thinking again in our culture, what does that look like for many of us in the midst of juggling children or juggling work? Well, I've been thinking a lot about this. Somebody else said to me many years ago, something that I've lived by for about 12 years, was, "Rachel, when your life is so full, I suggest you keep your life under 3-monthly review." And I've lived by that ever since. Because again, our lives are so full, aren't they? And to take time out. But what does even that mean? What does it mean to take time out to review? Well, it strikes me, and I know many of you will agree with this, is that God, who is beyond time, doesn't need a lot of our time to actually speak to us, does he? It can take a few minutes. And I remember a friend of mine going to the cathedral to have a bit of time out, and she said, "You know what? I walked in the door and I just knew that God was there waiting for me." And she had 20 minutes with God, and that was all it took for him to convince her and to speak to her clearly about a new direction for her life that she's now walking in. So I encourage you, whether in practical ways, and really silly practical ways, whether you've got a routine in the morning when drying your hair or doing something else, then actually build in that time, 10 minutes maybe, just to pray. Somebody said to me the other day that when the adverts come on ITV, they put the kettle on, that's their moment to pray, maybe 5 minutes. It may be that actually you can spare an hour in a month to actually take time out, to seek God, to open your Bible, to go for a walk, to do whatever works with you, to connect with God, to use music, to use singing, to be driving in your car, to use art, whatever it is. Going back to the verse that we had here, we need to pursue God in a way that doesn't drain us, that doesn't make us feel guilty, that isn't another burden, but actually draws us closer to God, because we know in him, that's where we can find godliness, holiness, guidance, direction, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So these active disciplines are ways in which we can surely seek to live differently. And the encouragement comes in this next slide, Ollie, if you could put this one up. The encouragement to us is to fight the good fight of faith. And again, when I think of this, it makes me think it's an active verb, but again, it doesn't need to be a challenge to be more active, but actually to come to a place of rest, to be releasing ourselves to God. And in all of this, where does this lead us to? My encouragement to us today is that actually what we need to do, and as Christians particularly, I've become more convinced over the last few weeks, is that actually the world will drain us. Things like money, image, identity will lure us into a trap unless as Christians we stand really firm and develop a countercultural strategy for our lives, which is one that gives ourselves permission to rest, to seek contentment, to know God, and to come into his presence, maybe more often than we are doing now even. So lastly, we've looked at worldly living and we've looked at otherworldly living. The last one that I'd like to throw in there is to celebrate living as we draw to a close. Actually, what does it mean sometimes to just say, "Do you know what? The to-do list never comes to an end. Let's just put it aside and actually just have a bit of fun." How do we enjoy time with our family? You know, is it okay to just throw a party for the sake of it? Do we always need a reason? Actually, to spend time with friends, to go for a walk, to do things that you enjoy. It struck me, and I love that verse in John 10:10, which says, "I have come so that you can have life in all its fullness." And the word that I heard to me was, that is, Rachel, that is not the fullness of your to-do list. That is life in all its fullness, isn't it? And so my challenge again to myself as much as to you is to think, actually, how can we sometimes abandon ourselves to celebrate the life that God has given us? Whether that's in a big way, whether it's in a small, quiet way that fuels you and helps to connect you to God. There's a time for everything, isn't there? A time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to rejoice, a time to celebrate, and maybe a time to press pause as well. So what we're going to do now is I'm just going to light these candles and we're just going to have a few minutes of quiet time. And as the band come back up to the stage in just a moment, and they'll lead us in some worship time. But in this moment, I just really would encourage you to just think, probably two or three things I'd encourage you to reflect on. One might be is that actually, as we've been talking about discontentment, if there's anything in you that you feel actually you've become really discontented with life, and that actually it prompts as a good challenge for you this morning, that God asks us all to seek out his contentment, then it may be that you just want to take a moment or two to think and give to him those areas of your life that may be breeding discontentment at this current time. We don't always have many chances to say sorry, but it might be that you just want to take a couple of moments to actually just say sorry to God for the way that we've been living our life, whether just going, squeezing God out, or asking actually maybe for his help, that you feel like you've been pulled through that mangle and you just want his release and freedom. Many of our songs this morning spoke about freedom and about God being in our midst. So it might be that you want to say sorry to God, or it might be that you just want to come with a heart of thankfulness to celebrate life, to thank God for all that he's given, and to just bring all of that to him, or a combination of all of them. But we'll take just a few minutes, and then the band will lead us in some worship. But let's just pray as we go into reflection time together. Father God, we just thank you that your spirit prompts us as it is needed. We thank you that you love us so much that you don't leave us as we are, and yet you want to move us on so that we will seek you, pursue you, hear you, see your face. Lord, we pray that just in this time of peace, you would be whispering to us about maybe what element it is that you want us to bring to you, to celebrate, to change, to ask for forgiveness for. We thank you, God, that you are good and that you change us to make us more of your character. May you just be present with us now, Jesus, we ask. Amen.